Well, we are honored this morning, and I'm so excited to have Pastor Tom Hunter with us. Pastor Hunter is a graduate of Bob Jones University in 1994. He and his wife, Beverly, serve at the Plantation Baptist Church, where he's the senior pastor. Every Sunday, they have over 600 people that come to church, and they are represented by 31 countries in their congregation. It's truly a melting pot of the world that is just north of Miami, Florida. And I know that you're going to appreciate Pastor Hunter. He's a very energetic man. He's passionate for the Lord. And I'm so glad that he's here this morning. And so please open your heart as he comes and preaches God's word today.
Amen. What a joy it is to be in chapel this morning. I cannot tell you, standing here and sitting here, all of the memories that have come flooding back to my mind. Most of them good, some of them good, some of them painful. When my secretary handed me the letter from the executive offices of Bob Jones University, I had a flashback to when I was a student. If you're wondering how long it will take them to forget your behavior as a student, use me as an example, about 25 years. So good to see you. I opened the letter that Dr. Pettit sent to me, and I read in there something that just prepared my heart to be able to come to you today. He said, "Tom, I want you to come preach," he said, "but I want you to come and preach what God lays on your heart." And I am, if I'm honest with you today, I come to you today as a pastor. I come to you today with my heart. I look out in this student body and I see hope, man. I look out in this student body and I see future. I was watching you while you sing. I was watching you as you shake hands, watching you as you greet one another. 24 years ago, I exited this building and this property. God did wonderful things in my life in this place. I did not come here spiritually right. I came here running from the Lord. I came here trying my best to do what God, not to do what God was calling me to do. It was during Bible conference, my freshman year, God got a hold of my heart. I was sitting, and praise the Lord, there's nobody there today, but I was sitting where all of the people running from the Lord sit. I was sitting right up there in that balcony. A guy named Les Olila preached a message about getting right with God. And God smote my heart. And they gave an invitation. We don't give many invitations very much anymore, but they gave one. And I left my seat from way up there. And I walked down that middle thing right there, and I walked down the stairs. I came down to the front, but the front was full, and they were ushering us over there to that hallway. I want to go visit that hallway. Fell on my face that day, and I said, "God, I'm done. I'm done. I can't run anymore. I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know you want my life. And so, God, I'm surrendering my life to you." About that time, a man that I did snuck up behind me. You might know him. His name is Dr. Panosian. And in a way that only Dr. Panosian can articulate, he began to say, "If you are here," for a moment I thought I heard the audible voice of God. My prayer changed from repentance to, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, man." And I went out and I began to serve the Lord. I come here today with a burden in my heart as a pastor for you. And I'm coming here today to preach a message. I'm not an outline preacher. I'm self-defined as a messy preacher. But if you'll stay with me until the very end of this message, I believe that I can help you today. I want to attack what I call a black hole in Christianity. I want to attack on a black hole in Christianity that is affecting the age span of which you are in your life. Churches like mine, we're doing all we can to keep people like you. They're telling us as pastors that if we don't make serious changes, we're not going to keep our youth. The problem is, in making those serious changes, they're asking us to go seriously against the Word of God. And I got news for you, my friend. No one needs anything greater than God's Word in their life. And they're putting it to us, and there's a tremendous pressure as young people begin to get 17, 18, 19 years of age, and they begin to walk away from churches like mine, maybe churches like you came from, churches that used to be good, independent, fundamental Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, God-loving, people-loving churches. And I'm finding that there, and I do believe that there is a reason that this is happening. I was so delighted to read in the letter about what Dr. Pettit was saying was a theme for your chapel services this season. I understand he's preaching to you on the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. When I was your age, I'm 45. When I was your age, and when I was 14, 15, 16, 17 years old prior to coming to college, there was an absence of the preaching of the Holy Spirit of God to young people. The absence of the preaching of the Holy Spirit of God to us as young people put a demand and a perspective on a different way of living, which brought to many of us a frustration and a feudalism and a fatalism and finally a resignation to just surrendering, giving up, quitting, finding some other easier way to go. They didn't preach messages to us about the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Instead, they would preach messages to us like, just say no. That really works for our society. Just say no. Began to replace the power of the Holy Spirit of God with my ability, my confidence, my standard, my behavior, my choices. And I would go to church as a young man with a heart filled with God, a heart to know God, a heart to love God, but I had a battle and a war going on inside my mind. And everybody preached to me about what I was supposed to do as a Christian, but nobody preached to me what God could do in my life. And I have a feeling we have messages that are being preached today that are filled with laboring in of ourselves to somehow find some spiritual place, some spiritual position, some spiritual success. And I got news for you. There's no spiritual success without the Holy Spirit of God. I know you're frustrated. Maybe even hurt. Maybe even angry. And I think there's a thought that goes through your brain sometimes that nobody understands me. I face this as a pastor all the time in multiple different languages. They sit down and they'll say, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody understands my thought process. Nobody understands what's happening to me. When you remove the Holy Spirit of God and His presence and His power and His ability from the preaching of the Word of God, it alienates people from the joy of their salvation. It alienates people from the reality of the life of Christ. When I read a verse to you from Romans chapter 8, verse number 2, and I would love for you to see it. The Apostle Paul is letting us know about a great truth and a great spiritual position. He's giving his testimony in these two chapters. And he's making this wonderful declaration. And I wish you could just picture the Apostle Paul standing in my place today. And the Apostle Paul coming to give you a testimony of his life. And the Apostle Paul would begin his testimony by saying to you, I would like to begin by thanking God through Christ Jesus my Lord. And then I think he would quote to you verse number 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. We've got a problem in Christianity. We've got a misunderstanding of the Christian life. We've got a frustration and a fatalism that's approaching that to where it makes us become, in this time of our life, vulnerable to other options, vulnerable to other religions, vulnerable to other ways. If we're not open to something new, then we're clammed up about something old. And the Apostle Paul has a wonderful message for you that I want to preach with my whole heart. And the Apostle Paul would tell you, I want to tell you what life in Christ is really like. And I want to tell you about a freedom that you can know that will bless you in your spiritual life, bless you in your emotional life, your mental life. It will bless you in the depth of your soul. It is there. I got news for you. When we preached you Jesus Christ, when in the life that he is, in the abundant life that he gives, when Jesus makes that statement, he's not lying about himself. He is the awesome God. Paul would say, I need to take you back in my life to a dark place. Pastor, Paul had dark places in his life. You'd be amazed at how many Christians have dark places in their life. The Apostle Paul would walk you back in his testimony to chapter number 7. And he'll walk you back to verse number 24. And by his own declaration, the Apostle Paul would declare himself to be wretched. He makes a statement and says, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He follows that with a very seemingly transition in that next verse. So easy and so non-effortless. After he makes this cry of bondage and deliverance of this body of this death, he simply then says, I want to thank you, God. I submit to you, between verse number 24 and verse number 25, there is a black hole that is sucking the young people of our culture away from the Christianity that we preach from the Bible. The Apostle Paul, in verse number 24, is in a very difficult and discouraging and defeated place. He's in a very, very low place. He's been saved for some time. I think it surprises him. And the Apostle Paul, if the commentators have it right, is making an allegiance or an illustration to that cruel Roman way in which they used to find capital punishment. If you murdered a man, sometimes they would take that murdered dead body and they would strap it to you, forehead to forehead, face to face, belly to belly, arm to arm, and you would wear that body as a death covering. And as that body would decay, that decayed body would come into your body, and it would do to your body what decay and death would do. And the Apostle Paul is in this position where in his Christian life, he feels like he's strapped to this body of death. I submit to you, based on Romans chapter 8, verses 1, and the very last verse of the Bible, that chapter, that is a very low place. Because in chapter number 8, when the Apostle Paul is brought out of this low place to that mountain of victory, his initial exclamation is, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Jesus Christ. He bookends that chapter with, no one or no thing can ever separate me from the love of God. What's going on in the Apostle Paul's mind, Pastor? I'll tell you what's going on. He's learning how to deal with his two natures that are within him. The Apostle Paul here is in chapter number 7 is dealing with the law of sin. And he's dealing with something that is surprising to him. And he's wanting you to understand this. Most preachers stand up and preach the Apostle Paul as the greatest Christian to ever walk the earth. And I think if Paul could preach about himself, he would say, I'm not the greatest Christian. I'm the greatest sinner to ever walk the face of the earth. The more the Apostle Paul grew in his walk with the Lord, the more he realized how sinful he was. I, like many of you, got saved as a young child. I got saved when I was about 5 years of age. I knew enough to know that I was a sinner. I knew enough to know that I needed to believe upon the Lord. I knew enough to know that Jesus died for my sin. I knew I could not get to heaven without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and I knew I didn't want to go to hell. Here's what I did not know. I did not know as a child how wicked a sinner I was. I did not understand how wicked a sinner I was until my sin nature began to come on me. 14, 15, 16. when the depth of my sinful humanity began to show forth in my flesh, in my members, I never knew I could lust like that, think like that. I never knew that wicked part that existed. And as it began to manifest itself in my life, a war began to explode in my thoughts. And this is a war that explodes in the thoughts of our young people. I think we get to the point, where, especially those of us that got saved when we were younger, we're surprised at how wicked we really are. And as our sin nature is exposing itself, Paul said, I found myself with my mind wanting to serve God, but with my flesh, I was serving the law of sin. Paul says, you would not believe the things that I'm doing. What I hate, would never want to do in my life. That's unfolding in my life. He says, when I want to find good, I can't even find how to perform good. He says, there's this movement within me that I have a delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another war going on in my members. Oh, I remember this when I was 14, 15, 16 years of age. I remember that I did love the Lord. I did know the Lord, and I did want to serve the Lord, and I did want to be holy and righteous, but I had a war going on inside of me. When I would come and I would hear preaching, this would be the preaching. Don't do that. Stop. Change. All this effort within ourselves. Dr. Pettit's been preaching the book of Galatians, chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We used to teach it backwards. Don't fulfill the lust of the flesh and you will be spiritual. That's impossible. It's impossible for me in the confidence of my own strength to not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I need a power greater than me. And I got news for you, young people. There is a power greater than me. His name is Jesus Christ. As I battled in my mind that war, Paul said, I battled that war myself. And Paul got to the point where he was able to navigate his way through this. Most young people aren't able to navigate their way through this. Yes, Pastor, I do know the Lord. I do want to serve the Lord. But there's this war going on in my flesh. There's this movement going on within me. And my members are so saturated by that. And I need help. So when a preacher would stand up and preach you about the joy of the Christian life, those people never knew joy. When a person would preach about the security of salvation, that person is continuing worried about condemnation. You'd be amazed at how many saved young people aren't secure in the salvation of God. That might be you. You live every day not knowing whether or not you're going to heaven. You've prayed a million prayers. You've done everything you know to do, but you're not secure in that. Or those people that are in that position, they begin to question the love of God. How could God love me? How could God think anything righteous toward me? God must be so disappointed in me. I must be so unpleasing to the Lord. I got news for you. You're precious to the Lord. And don't you ever let anybody tell you that God doesn't love you. If God loved you prior to salvation, God loves you after salvation. God is love, and God cannot do anything but love. I don't know about you, but I'm glad that God loves me. Oh, I wish you could say amen. I'm preaching a good message. I'm about to come out of my shoes. But they told me that something happens in here. If I leave this box, I get an electronic shock. Young people, there is a law that is greater in your life than the law of sin and death. And it is the law of the Spirit of life in Jesus Christ. How do I make this applicable to you and relevant in your life? Pastor, I have tried, I have tried, I have tried. Well, Why don't you let somebody else try for a little while? Would you look, pick up verse number 4 of Romans chapter 8 with me, please, or verse number 3. For what the law could not do, you know that Ten Commandment law, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Now, I want you to be responsive to me, okay? It'll be all right. I promise you, you won't get in trouble. But when I ask you for a word, I want you to give me the word here. When it comes, I need you to hear it. Please get verse number 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled. Say the word. In us. Not by us, in us. Paul said, when I tried to fulfill God's righteousness within my members, when I tried to know God's righteousness within my practice, when I tried to do it by myself, I could not know it. But I could know it as the Holy Spirit of God would work it in my life. And the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free. And that righteousness has been fulfilled in me, not by me, but in me, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm done. I came with my heart today. And I came preaching to a very specific ear today. I'm preaching to the man or the woman who loves God, who knows God, who wants to serve God. But you also know that war between those two laws within you. You're frustrated. You're fearful. You're worried about condemnation. You're worried about the love of God. You're worried about the future. You're tired of repenting day after day after day after day. You're tired of not knowing that spiritual, victorious life that you heard so much about. And you're thinking, who in the world is going to help me? Who's going to help me? Well, some people are going to different religions. Some people are going to different avenues. Some people are going to different ways of belief. Young people, we hold in our hands the unchanging Word of God. I am begging you not to run from it, but to run to it. And I am pleading with you to know the fullness of the Holy Spirit of God in your life. What does that look like, Pastor? Because I hear preachers say that all the time, but nobody tells me how. When Paul wrote the book of Ephesians, he talked about being filled with the Spirit of God. You've heard a billion messages on it. What does that look like practically? Here's what that looks like practically. It's the emptying of yourself. It's the recognition that you need the Lord. It's the recognition of the Lord's help in your life. It's the recognition of all-powerful God. And so what you do is you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I can't control myself. Lord, I can't work this out. Lord, I need you. I empty myself of you today. Holy Spirit of God, fill me, control me, lead me, guide me, keep me, direct me, help me. I give myself to you. Paul said, when I came under the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, I got finally freed. And when you read chapter number 8, he's finally freed from that dominance of that law of sin and of death.
He's free to walk in the Spirit of God, which is a phenomenal walk. He's freed to be able to please God as he is in the Spirit, to know that. He's free to know resurrection power in his life, to know God's power and moving in his life. We're so lost of that and absent of the power of God within our lives anymore that we don't realize that we serve a miraculous, powerful God who can do anything in our lives and with our lives. Gives me the ability to set free, to mortify my flesh. The ability to be led by God, to cry to the Father, to know the intercession of the Spirit of God, and to trust God with whatever happens in my life. That's the precious work of the Holy Spirit of God. Get to know Him. He's beautiful. Walk in Him, and you'll know joy, and you'll know victory, and you'll know power. I may never see you again in this campus, but I sure hope to meet you in the harvest fields of the world. We need you. Churches like mine need you. Fields like around the world need you. But we need you filled with the Holy Spirit of God, walking in His great power. What a hope sets before me. Thank you for listening to me. Heavenly Father God, move in our lives. Teach us to know the filling and leadership of the Holy Spirit of God. Teach us to know that law of the Spirit of life in Christ. Oh, the futility, the dark place of trying to live the Christian life in my own help, in my own effort, in my own abilities. Paul said, "Who's going to help me?" And he navigated his way through that black hole and he said, "There's one that can help me. His name is Jesus Christ. His Spirit is all-powerful and mighty God. And His law is greater than the law of sin and death. And His law will enable me to know life and to know it abundantly." Bless the student body. Keep them from evil. Minister grace to them. And someday, God, let them turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.